Welcome to the Grazing Grass Podcast, episode 112. You're listening to the Grazing Grass Podcast, sharing information and stories of grass-based livestock production utilizing regenerative practices. I'm your host, Cal Hardage. You're growing more than grass. You're growing a healthier ecosystem to help your cattle thrive in their environment. You're growing your livelihood by increasing your carrying capacity and reducing your operating cost. You're growing stronger communities and a legacy to last generations. The grazing management decisions you make today impact everything from the soil beneath your feet to the community all around you. That's why the Noble Research Institute created their Essentials of Regenerative Grazing course to teach ranchers like you easy to follow techniques to quickly assess your forage production and infrastructure capacity in order to begin grazing more efficiently. Together, they can help you grow not only a healthier operation, but a legacy that lasts. Learn more on their website at noble.org/grazing. It's noble.org/grazing. On today's episode, we have Eli Mack. And you're like, what? I've heard that name before. Eli was on the podcast for episode 5 and then episode 111. So just last Wednesday, he was on. And we're doing something a little bit different for today's Friday episode. Rather than just me, I asked Eli to come on and share about what he uses, the fencing equipment he uses on his farm, and to expand into Kiwi Tech. Eli has his farm, Mack Farms. He also works for Ken Cove Farm Fence, which is a supporter of the Grazing Grass Podcast and grazers everywhere. So I've asked him, come on, share what he's using, and then we get into Kiwi Tech. I think it's a really informative episode. I really gained some stuff from Kiwi Tech because I was curious about it, and I may order me some to try and see how it goes. Anyway, I think it's a nice episode, talk about someone else and really taking a deep dive into his fencing program and what King Cove offers along that line. I told you a couple of weeks ago we were going to get into livestock coat color genetics, and we still are. I've just pushed that back just a little bit. I did tell you it would be the next episode. I apologize. I changed my schedule up. It is coming up, though. Enough of that. Let's talk to Eli. Eli, we want to welcome back to the podcast. For today's episode, we're doing something a little bit different. We asked you to come back on, talk about fencing that you're using on your farm, as well as what Ken Cove offers. So let's just jump right into it. And for everyone out there listening, if you didn't catch Wednesday's episode where we talked with Eli about what's happened on his farm since the original episode 5 that aired in November of 2020, go back and listen to those episodes and then come catch us here.
Yes, sir. Always a pleasure to be on with you. Any chance I get to sit down and chat with you, I'm going to take it. So
let's jump into your fencing, Eli. What equipment do you use on Mack Farms?
Sure. Over the past couple of years, I've put up a few high tensile perimeters, but not even the whole farm has a hard exterior perimeter. Some of it is still just twine around the outskirts, and then everything interior is twine, soft fence, temporary interior fencing, paddock divisions. What I started doing, because I've been planting a lot of trees along my long paddock divisions that I know are staying in place for good. So to protect them, I've used our braided twine, like 4 strands to keep the cows and the sheep both out of them while they're growing. And usually a 1-inch or 1.25-inch fiberglass rod or sucker rod, as we call it, at the ends is strong enough to anchor 4 strands of twine, no big deal. So those I've used to mark the edges of my paddock stretches. And then if I do any divisions of those paddocks, probably for the last year or two, my weapon of choice has been the Kiwi Tech spool. Kiwi Tech stuff is all pretty modular. You can piece it together and use it how you want it a couple different ways. I choose to use it in simple form, which is just that spool with a click-in handle. It just snaps in and you give it like a hula hoop motion and it winds up. For me, it's just, it's lightweight. It's super easy to carry and move from one site to the other. The other thing for me, my paddocks are usually pretty tight and small because we're going for heavy impact and then move on. So I'm usually not stretching out more than 100 or 150 feet at one time. So it's not like I need a whole quarter mile reel like we normally do for the geared reels. So not having geared is not an issue for those orbital reels, and not having a whole lot of twine isn't a big deal either. And we can share some links if we need to give people an idea what that looks like, or I can put some videos up on my Instagram or whatever. But those are just arm powered. The KiwiTech stuff does have a gearbox as a central hub that you can get if you want to build something that's more like a reel. And that gearbox is actually 4-to-1, not just 3-to-1, like the typical reels. So that's what I use for twine and for my quote reels. I do like our Ken Cove braided twine. The braid gives it the additional strength. I don't really have any snapping or breakage. And the mixed metal, it's got 6 strands of stainless steel and 3 tin copper. And that actually gives it a significant conductivity advantage over just stainless steel. So I'm a big fan of that. I always tie off with a Zamer handle, or our item code is GPZ is what we call them. A little plastic handle. And I love them because they conduct the whole way through. There's a conductive hook, but then right inside that, there's an insulated hook. If you need to go adjust something, you can just dead end it so that you're not shocking yourself while you're fixing your line or whatever. They're also lightweight, so they make a great companion with those really small, minimalistic KiwiTech spools. And then my other favorites, I know everybody in our business really likes the O'Brien step-in posts. I'm a fan of those. I've also used a lot of the gray SunGuard posts with the built-in clips. I think those are, they're different versions of them. I think there's only one U.S. manufacturer of them, and I think they're to be discontinued, unfortunately. So I think we have our last shipment at Ken Cove as we're making this podcast episode, I believe. But then after that, I think they're going to be hard to find. Your Tractor Supplies and stuff will probably sell similar step-in posts, but they're not from the same source and not necessarily the same strength as far as the clips are concerned. But I do those because you can use that top clip to clip into another post and make a really quick makeshift brace post for your twine. That is usually what my daily setup looks like. Braided twine paddock divisions, braided twine on KiwiTech spools, and then O'Brien step-in posts for line posts, fiberglass sun guard posts for the braces.
Oh, yeah, very good. There's a couple of things I want to dive in there. But before we dive into it, what kind of energizer do you have that's powering all this?
That's a good question.
And we'll start there and work out.
Yeah, I have a couple of different scenarios right now. I have a 6-joule remote energizer in the barn that powers what would be that hard perimeter fence that I built with high tensile. It would be now what today is considered a Power Wizard brand. Back when I bought it, it was a Ken Cove brand. But now we've transitioned all those models to just be Power Wizard with the manufacturer. They're good units, especially the remote ones. I'm a big fan of that. So typically your 6-joule and your 13-joule you can get with remote capabilities. I have sheep on a remote property that are in electric netting. And for them, I use the SpeedRite 1-joule solar all-in-one. With that, you can pretty comfortably charge up to 4 nets at one time, because that's usually a recommendation. Is an output joule per mile of fence, or at least a quarter joule for every electric net that you're looking to add on to your system. And then right now, the sheep at the home farm, I'm still trying to get their cooperation with electric fencing. So they're in netting, and I have a SpeedRite dual purpose 3-joule on them, and it's running off of a 12-volt battery, just because I want to make sure that 3-joule was pushing through all 4 nets nice and strong. I'll swap out batteries and recharge them as I need to, but that definitely keeps those nets hot for the sheep. So between the three, depending where I'm at, it's one of the three.
On your energizer at the main place with the remote, I love the remote. I had StayFix with the remote. Wonderful. Of course, that's SpeedRite now, except I've moved away from the SpeedRite Energizers, so I no longer have that remote control capability, and I miss it. I love the Zammer handles, except I go over. I had a heifer get on neighbor's pasture. I'm still shocked why she did. But I go over, and I'd never met him. He'd bought this land last fall, and they'd been working. He's got a few cows. So I met him, and we got her back over there. And then I said, hey, come over. We'll go look at my cattle and what I'm doing. And we went over, and I said, so this fence is going to be really hot. And I put my remote on there to see the voltage. I was running 0.0. I was like, I got a problem. When I checked, I forgot to move that Zammer hook from the non-hot to the hot. Yep.
I've done that before. I walk out and there's a calf somewhere. It's not supposed to be. I'm like, now, how did that happen? And I get out there and I just forgot to hook up the handles.
Right. Right. And even though they had to get out, got out because the fence wasn't hot, they will not go back across it.
Yeah.
So I love the Zammer hooks. I missed the remote. And that was one day I was like, it was another day I was moving a couple reels and I was moving them hot. And I've got little jumpers I use once in a while. And I put them on and it's shocking me through that jumper, which means my animals are not getting out. But it also means I don't want to touch
them. Yeah, for sure.
And I really miss my remote that day.
I bet. And they just save so much time back and forth, too.
Yeah.
You can diagnose and fix right in the same spot. No trips back to the Energizer. I think if you have a paddock of any size, I think it's a must-have.
On your other two Energizers, you've got a little portable one-joule one running. And you mentioned they'll run up to four of the nets. What kind of voltage are you getting out of your two chargers?
Yeah, for the sheep, for cattle, I would say if you're above 3.0, you're probably going to be effective at keeping the cattle in. Sheep, I like to be higher than, I like to be 5.0 or higher. So with the netting, because there's so much of the conductors wrapped around that monofilament, you're going to naturally have more resistance on a net than you would maybe the braided twine, and especially on smooth, high tensile wire. So typically, if I'm seeing 6 or 7.5 up to 8, I know that I'm pushing maximum for what multiple nets are going to conduct.
Oh, yeah.
Very rarely do I see 9s and 10s, especially if you have a little bit of vegetation up on the line with our electric nets. And I think most are this way. That very bottom strand is dead, so there's no electricity going through it, just so that you're not grounding out. But in the growing season, it's pretty common to get some vegetation up on that next line or two. So for me, if I'm at 7 and 8 on those electric nets, I'm pretty happy about that. 6, I'm still effective. 5, I say, okay, I can either do some weed whacking work before I set up the next one, or I need to adjust something to get better voltage out of it. But with the solar one, I typically will see a little bit lower of a reading than the dual purpose run one running off of the battery. And that dual purpose is three joule compared to a one joule. So it's pushing a lot compared to the other one. So typically my reading there is a little bit bigger than just the solar all in one unit.
I have a couple of little solar units, just Gallagher, that I purchased at the local feed store. And they don't have near the output I want, but they work in that if I need to throw up a fence real quick and I don't have anything close by, I can do it. I like the idea of a one joule. That'd be much better than these little, I want to say 0.16 joule one. But it works reasonably well enough.
Yeah.
As long as the sheep's got enough grass, they don't pressure my polybraid if I'm using polybraid.
Yeah, and they're super handy just to have around every now and then. You get in a bind, you don't have time to go address the real issue on the fence, and you're like, man, I know if I hook this handle up, we're going to be at like 2.8, and that's not going to be good enough. But if I just leave this line insulated and I hook the solar energizer on it, or the little energizer, whatever you have on hand, I can at least get up to 5 or 6 and call it good until I get through my fence fix. Sometimes it's the ticket you need to just buy for the day until you have more time to deal with the actual issue.
Right. And that's really true. Some days I just need it fixed so I can move on. I'll take care of it later. Ken Cove Farm Fence is a proud supporter of the Grazing Grass podcast and grazers everywhere. At Ken Cove Farm Fence, they believe there's true value within the community of grazers and land stewards. The results that follow proper management and monitoring can change the very world around us. That's why Ken Cove is dedicated to providing an ever-expanding line of grazing products to make your chores easier and your land more abundant. Whether you're growing your own food on the homestead or grazing on thousands of acres, Ken Cove has everything you need to do it well. From reels to tumble wheels, polytwine to electric nets, water valves to water troughs, you'll find what you're looking for at Ken Cove. They carry brands like SpeedRite, O'Brien's, Kiwi Tech, StrainRite, Job, and more. Ken Cove is proud to be part of your regenerative journey. Call them today or visit kencove.com. And be sure to follow them on social media and subscribe to the Ken Cove YouTube channel at Ken Cove Farm Fence for helpful how-to videos and new product releases.
Yeah. Going on past that, going to your Kiwi Tech. I had seen Kiwi Tech on the Ken Cove website, I want to say a few years ago, probably about the time they added it to their line. And I looked on the website and I was just confused by what to get. I watched a couple videos and I just wasn't sure where to start. Mm-hmm. And you've already talked about Kiwi Tech just a little bit. Tell us just a touch more about that. And what, if someone wanted to try Kiwi Tech, and why would they want to try? What would they need to get to try that?
Sure. Those are all good questions. The Kiwi Tech line is resurfacing as new, but it's been around for a while. It was a thing back in the 70s or 80s, and Kenco was supplying it even then. It was all like millimeters because it's coming from New Zealand and Australia. We didn't really have good translation of sizes here at the time. So it was hot on the scene and then it fizzled out. And recently Ken Cove has picked it back up again and it's gaining more and more attention. You might have seen it under the name of like Spider Fence back then. It was part of that whole series.
Oh, well, okay.
Now it's, some people still call it that, but it's more so referred to, at least by us, as Kiwi Tech. The beauty of Kiwi Tech is that it's very modular. And I don't know if you've ever broken parts on your 3-to-1 reel. Some parts are pretty easy to get. Others are a little bit more difficult. But the Kiwi Tech, you can buy parts, replace it. You can buy this kit and decide you want something else and use the parts you have to build the bigger thing. It's like Legos for an adult grazer. It's just, it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
So it can be a little confusing. There's some older videos out there from Kiwi Tech. Kiwi style videos. And there's some others in other languages that are just hard to understand. And they all have their own names for things. This is the beef pack or the sheep pack or the carry pack. Or this.
Oh, right.
It's really easy to get confused and all that. So the way we've done it at Ken Cove is we call them a carry pack, which is a 4-to-1 geared winder with a carry rack for stepping posts. And Kiwi Tech has their own line of pieces to make your own step-in posts if you want, customizable step-in posts. And then there's the geared winder, which is basically just your reel, a 4-to-1 reel with no post rack. And then there's the spools, which go on a carry pack, a winder, or like I mentioned at the beginning, just using them as a handheld orbital motion to wind up your twine. From there, there are parts and pieces, like your standard 3-to-1 reel has the guard on the front to keep it from jumping and getting all tangled. Kiwi Tech kind of uses the pigtail style guard to contain any wires coming in. And I guess the point I'm getting to with that is Kiwi Tech gives you the ability to wind up multiple strands at one time with a 4-to-1 ratio. So you could do a 1-strand, 2-strand, or 3-strand with a Kiwi Tech pack. If you're doing multi-species grazing or if you're doing sheep grazing and you need multiple strands, but you don't want to deal with 4 separate reels, Kiwi Tech is a legitimate option. It's still pretty lightweight because those spools are nice and compact. You would just buy a different guide that accommodates the multiple strands.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other key feature that I really like about the geared Kiwi Tech stuff is what we call the chuck. It's like the big slug that you slide on your 4-to-1 hub. And that's what these spools get seated on. You slide them on there like a cassette disc looking thing, and the end is adjustable. You can tighten or loosen how much drag those spools have, which crucial when you're winding multiple, because if you've ever tried to make your own little contraption before, you'll know that one of them goes tight before the other one, and then that one's throwing slack because it's not tight, and now you have a big mess. So adjustable chuck takes out that whole headache because it allows whatever one goes tight first to just free spin while the other ones are still gathering up twine. So you could have three strands all coming in out of tension at different times, and it's just rolling with
it. Oh, okay.
And then the guys who are very efficient with the whole set, you'll see them using the winder with the post rack. So we would call that a carry pack. And they can be paying out wire, grabbing a step-in post off the rack, clipping it in, and stepping in the ground all in the same motion. So if you really want to maximize the KiwiTech system, you can do setup and tear down in one pass instead of, I'm going to pay out the wire, and then I'm going to come back and put the step-in posts in. And then when I tear down, I'm going to pull all the step-in posts and come back and wind them up one at a time just so they don't get tangled. It really alleviates all that. If you practice it, you can save a lot of time. You can be very effective. I do think there is a learning curve to it. Even just getting the motion down for using the orbital reel took me about a week. You just have to get that muscle memory in. But once you practice with it and you get the hang of it, you can pick it up and you'll be very effective at your paddock moves.
So if you're going to just do the orbit spool, so you need a spool and then you need like a snap-in handle to hold it so you can do your spinning.
Yeah, the spool. And we sell the spool. You can get it three ways. You can get it as a bare spool. It's empty. And you can load it with whatever kind of twine you like. That's what I choose to do most of the time. And I'll put our braided twine on it because I'm a big fan. KiwiTech does sell it as a half size and a full size, which would be the equivalent of 660 feet or 1320 feet like our standard reels are. But they use a very thin twine. They call it a tight twist. It's six strands of stainless steel. It's a lot smaller, so they can fit a lot more on those really narrow spools. I've used it successfully for probably three seasons now. And I'm getting to the point now where if a sheep goes through it, I'm getting some breaking. And I'm just quick tying it together. I know some guys aren't a fan of that. But the ones that I have the braided twine on, I don't have any issues with it breaking. But I can only fit about 500 to 600 feet of braided twine on those spools just because it's thicker and it takes up more space. That pretty much maxes out the spool. The KiwiTech twisted, tight twist, 600 feet. There's still a lot of room left on that spool. But with braided twine, it pretty much takes up the whole thing. And yes, the spool, the snap-in handle allows you to do the whole orbital thing. The snap-in handle contains an extra peg. If you snap the one off that pops into the spool, you can just pull it out, replace it, and you have another one ready to go.
Oh, okay.
And then the spools all have holes around the rim, and they sell what's called a release hook. And it's something you can slide down over a 3/8 post, a fiberglass post, lock it in place with one of their little wedges. And then it's got two fingers that pop through the outside of those holes to hold the spool in place. And as long as you have that 3/8 post braced, it shouldn't move. I've actually cheated on this, and I'll give the listeners an inside scoop on that. All of those holes on the spool are 3/8 diameter. And at Ken Cove, we sell 3/8 fiberglass posts. We also sell little chunks of 3/8 for people that want to drill a hole and do an offset in a wooden post. So instead of, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but it's a good tip. And instead of spending extra money on the very specific item and having to replace it each time with the snap-in handle or the release hook, you can always just slide a 3/8 up in there, do the whole wind. And what I end up doing is, you can picture the spool has flanges. I'll shove the flange into a post, a fiberglass post, a sucker rod post, and then I'll slide that pin through the outer holes instead of using the release clip. That might be hard to explain, but you'd have to hop on my Instagram and I'll show you what that looks like. But those little chunks of fiberglass are super cheap and it don't break nearly as easily as the release hooks do. So you'll save money you'll have it forever. So that would be my recommendation for people that want to do the orbital rail style.
One thing on those spools, I purchased, I think I have two spools, and I got it with the, I forget what you called it. The poly braid is more visible to the animals. So I don't like the idea of the really thin. To me, it's good to know you can get it without, so you could put that poly braid onto it. Now, the other thing, you can do the orbital winding of it, or you can get those carry cases. And I see, or carry packs, and I see those. And you said those also, they can carry the posts with them? Is that part of that carry pack, how it puts it on there?
If you get just the winder, it'll have a handle like a normal 3-to-1 reel is, and you're just holding it and winding it. The carry pack, in place of that holding handle, you put the pedestal for the post rack. And then your arm kind of rests near the post rack. You can still have this hand free to wind, but the posts are laying up in the rack above you. You can carry them with you. You can probably fit, I don't know, you can definitely fit 20 3/8 posts on that rack pretty easily, probably more. It's been a minute since I counted. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. I just, with the KiwiTech, it's something I've wanted to try, but I haven't been really for sure what I needed to get for sure to try it. So you've helped me out, and hopefully you've helped the listeners out that if they want to try the KiwiTech, then go to Ken Cove and see what they need there.
Yeah, and a lot of those components from either just the handheld winder or the carry pack are pretty much the same. It just comes down to how many strands are you trying to use at one time, and then do you want the carry handle or do you want the post rack? Everything else is pretty much the same. You have that 4-to-1 geared hub, and everything with the KiwiTech system is pretty much friction fit into that hub. I just use a dead blow hammer and tap it in place until it's snug. Handle, gear, winder, chuck, guide, that's pretty much the most of it.
Very good, Eli. Is there anything else you use on your farm or anything else about KiwiTech you'd like to add today?
They do have some of the water troughs as well here at Ken Cove, the KiwiTech water troughs. One of them is the micro. It's about that big. And they say it can water up to 50 head of cattle, works on your normal pressurized water systems, doesn't require a whole lot of PSI to operate. And basically it works off of a flapper diaphragm. The cow comes in looking for water, pushes it down with their nose, and that cup fills up. And basically they have to hold it down as they're drinking. So it's just automatically refilled.
Oh, yeah.
And it comes with a ground stake. So you just shove it in the ground like a step-in post. And when you paddocks, you can just yank that thing out and move it with you. Doesn't really work for sheep because sheep's face is too small and they're not putting enough contact pressure on that flapper.
Oh, good to know.
To activate the valves. And then we do have the bigger python trough. And I believe both of those operate off of a 1-inch polypipe fitting kind of system. So we do have those as well with the KiwiTech system. KiwiTech down at the home headquarters down in New Zealand, they can do other things. They can do customized ATV or four-wheeler setups. We don't really stock those parts at Ken Cove, but if that's something that somebody's interested in, we can get that for them. We can get it over here to the U.S. if they want to order something, or if there are other kits that they see when they're searching KiwiTech stuff. Like they also have the aero posts and things like that that we just don't stock a lot of. We don't sell a lot of them, so we don't dabble in it quite as much, but we can get our hands on those things people are interested in other products. Yeah.
Very good. Eli, thank you.
Yep. And Cal, I would encourage anybody that if there's any confusion about KiwiTech stuff or they want to see more, we do have several videos up on the Ken Cove YouTube channel showing how to assemble those kits, showing how to use them, how to be effective and efficient, all that good stuff. So they can check some out there and even throw some questions up if they still have questions after watching those videos.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Eli, I appreciate you coming on, sharing about what you're using on your farm, as well as expanding upon the KiwiTech stuff today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Cal.
I really hope you enjoyed today's conversation. I know I did. Thank you for listening. And if you found something useful, please share it. Share it on your social media. Tell your friends. get the word out about the podcast. Helps us grow. If you happen to be a grass farmer and you'd like to share about your journey, go to grazinggrass.com and click on Be Our Guest. Fill out the form and I'll be in touch. We appreciate your support by sharing our episodes and telling your friends about it. You can also support our show by buying our merch. We get a little bit back from that. Another way to support the show is by becoming a Grazing Grass Insider. Grazing Grass Insiders enjoy bonus content, monthly Zooms, and discounts. You can visit the website, grazinggrass.com, click on support, and they'll have the links there. Also, if you haven't left us a review, please do. It really helps us as people are searching for podcasts. And I was just checking them, and we do not have very many reviews for 2024. So if you haven't left us a review, please do. And until next time, keep on grazing grass.